All right, so we are here hanging in the studio, and we've got a special guest here in this segment, Trennis Jones from the Positive Coaching Alliance.
Throw
in
up
here
your dub, Chad.
To get us positive. Throw up my what?
Throw up your dub.
Throw up my dub?
Throw up your dub.
Throw up a dub. What is that? Oh, for Westlake.
Of course.
Yeah, Westlake guy.
You got to represent.
How are you? That's probably why they had
He was a baller here.
Had you come in?
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but, you know.
We got to ride to Colorado to play basketball. So
exactly.
I was getting, so was it just basketball?
Compared to what I did, that's a baller.
Was it just hoops at Westlake, or did you play at all?
It was just basketball. I played football in middle school, and somebody hit me, and I was probably 160 pounds, and I was like, look, there's a better way to do this.
So you knew it in sixth grade?
Yeah, I just, you know, I knew that it was you know, my time to retire from football.
There's a better way to make this money.
Smart man.
There's a better way to get it done.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that.
Including giving back.
Absolutely. Tell everybody about the Positive Coaching Alliance.
Yeah, no, well, Positive Coaching Alliance, we're the 16th chapter here in Central Texas, which runs from Austin and San Antonio, originally based in the Bay Area. So basically what we do is we provide workshops and provide resources to everybody that's involved in youth sports, the kids, the coaches, their parents, as well as the leaders, to make sure that the kids are having an opportunity to maximize their gifts, but then make sure that it's done in a healthy way. That, you know, they're able to stay involved and have a good time. You know, ultimately, most kids don't get a chance to, you know, be LeBron or, you know, be in college and play. But they do have an opportunity to continue to play as long as they want to, especially in high school and in middle school. And at an alarming rate, I believe it's, 75% of the kids that play sports have quit by age 13. Which
wow.
is crazy, right?
Like 13? Yeah,
13,
oh,
right?
My God.
So you're talking about, like, childhood obesity and just different things you can get into after school. You're at your own, you know.
It's not about getting a ride. It's about staying in shape.
Yeah.
And it's also about the camaraderie.
Right.
Like, that's why people even my age still play at 38. Because it's fun. And there's something to it, you know, and it's good for you.
And there's relationship, right?
Absolutely, you know,
some
there's
of the,
relationship.
And I don't speak for y'all, but certainly for the
some
relationships
of the best
I have, right?
Yeah.
We're born out of middle school basketball or high
no
school,
doubt.
College, whatever, because you're in that foxhole with that person and you kind of know them on an intimate level versus, not having, you know, I think sports is really, you know, specifically capable of developing those relationships.
Yeah.
That there's few things that can do that.
I'm on the website right now, Chad, and I see some of the mm-hmm. coaches that are involved. Now, you said that Sonya, we're talking about Sonya, because I bring her up to everyone now.
Yeah.
She's like a sister.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Sonya Richards-Ross, for those of you who don't
Sonya,
know.
Sonya, just with the news.
Yes.
You obviously know her. She's going to be a part of it. But I see Bruce Bochy, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Ronnie Lott, Phil Jackson. Obviously, they've taken to it. What is their role in
this? Well, their role as National Advisory Board members, they're able to help us raise awareness. They're able to help us kind of continue to calibrate what it is that we're trying to teach. And obviously, they represent themselves.
Right.
None of those people that you just mentioned are giving away free trophies or not competing. All of them are about, you know, going as hard as you possibly can and trying to maximize what it is that you're doing. And so in a name, I think they're able to kind of just be themselves, and they're good examples of what it is that we're trying to, you know, give.
There's something I definitely want you to talk about here in a second. Let's let everybody know about the event coming up. Again, Trennis Jones from the Positive Coaching Alliance is in studio with us. The PCA Chalk Talk is coming up Sunday before the Austin Spurs game. So 1:30 to 2:30 out at the, let me see if I get this right, the HEB Center.
There you go. Right.
At Cedar Park.
There you go.
Yes, I'm going to get there. And R.C. Buford is going to lead this discussion?
Yes. So R.C. just recently joined our National Advisory Board. And so he'll be leading a conversation about just youth sports and the importance of making sure that, you know, coaches and parents can kind of control and set the parameters for their kids to, and, you know, have a good time in youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you allow is what will happen type of deal. And so just making sure that we're inviting RC to come in and speak a little bit about just what, you know, youth sports means to him, and then inviting the community to join the movement and know what we do.
So all you have to do is buy a ticket to the game, and you will get into this event as well. Go to pca-centraltx.org to get your ticket. You said something as we were getting ready to come on that it was just it's such a simple statement, but so important to me. You mentioned just the idea that, yeah, talking to kids about learning how to lose.
Right.
and maybe it's win and lose, but we've talked about it before, whether it's talking about basketball and what AAU style basketball can ultimately, you know, do, the good and the bad results of things. But how important, from what you've seen, people you've talked to, the kids that you've dealt with, how important is that in 2017, the simplicity of have a kid learn how to lose?
Just know what it is, know how it feels, be able to take that seemingly a simple negative situation, and mm-hmm. how do you learn from it? How do you learn from those mistakes? One of the things that we teach at PCA is that, you know, mistakes are good because they identify where you need correction. You know, they allow you to humble yourself. There's lots of lessons that I think mistakes can be made, or that mistakes can be benefiting from, especially with youth sports. We're not talking about someone that's making, you know, $35 million making a mistake. We're talking about a 10-year-old, right? So can that 10-year-old, you know, exert himself or herself enough to make a mistake to know where they need to learn? And so that's important. But, yeah, just learning just from a straight up, yeah, we lost. You know, how am I humbling myself? How can I shake somebody's hand, right? And it's tough to do. It's tough for any of us to do.
It was a long journey for me. I mean, I look back at when I was 9 or 10 and I lost, compared to finally getting to maybe around 17 or 18. And that was a long journey in those years. And it was because of a lot of just playing so many different sports. You just realize this is what life's going to be. I'm not going to win all the time. Right. I better learn how to be happy and learn while still losing. So all the parents, Trennis, that are listening right now, how can they either get involved or maybe they're in a situation where their kid needs to get involved?
Yeah, so what we do is we reach out to youth sports organizations and school districts to make sure that we're providing those tools to their coaches and their parents, really, right? Because it's about making sure that we're not siloed off, that it's a complete circle that are receiving this education. And so reaching out, just going to pca-centraltx.org. Obviously, that's a way for you to join us on Sunday, but it's also a great way to kind of know what we're about. You know, the question then becomes, you know, when you enroll your kid into a soccer league, what's the threshold by which you're asking that league to educate their coaches, those people that are nurturing your most precious gift?
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that it'd be high enough to where you'd want that person to have that type of mentality where they'd want your kid to do better. And to be a better person and hopefully learn some lessons while they're with that person, as opposed to just whether or not they got some playing time. I think it has to be higher than that and more important than that.
Yeah, especially the younger you go.
I mean, that's what it is. And yeah, again, it's we all, I think, are held to a higher. And you said you were on the journey of learning how to lose. I think I'm still on the journey. Right?
Oh, no, right. Good point. No, I'm still there. I'm just a lot further off, you know, ahead than I was.
Sure.
Like, I think that time, especially, I can just speak for a young boy, it's monumental to learn then how to do it, because you don't want to be learning those lessons at 30.
No, you don't. You don't. And those mistakes end up costing you more if you don't learn them.
Well said.
You're supposed to make them, when you're supposed to learn them.
Trennis Jones, Positive Coaching Alliance, in studio with us. Kind of along those lines, there's another, you know, trend that I know we've talked about it on the show. Parents out there are going to know when I start to talk about it. You mentioned soccer, and it for some reason that makes me think of the everybody gets a ribbon idea of the, I know there's, there are soccer,
how dare you?
I know there are soccer leagues where they literally don't count goals. Right. So it's just about let's have fun and not count it. From what from what the organization has dealt with and what you talk about, we just talked about the value of learning how to win and lose. Is there a value to having winning and losing as options versus saying, well, we're all having a great time and we're just playing?
Of course there is. And I think that, you know, all of us are sitting in these seats because we competed to get there.
True.
You know, people will happily sit in the seat that I'm in, and certainly the seats that y'all are in. And it takes competition. So whether you acknowledge,
we probably lost to get there too throughout the journey.
Whether you acknowledge competition or not,
I mean, look at Chad. Yeah, you can tell he lost.
You know, it happens.
How dare you?
But you know, it's one of those things where competition exists in the real world, and whether you acknowledge it or not, it's still going to exist. So if you set your kid up on a path where they're not acknowledging truth and what they actually have to deal with when they get a little bit older, when they get to college, then you're setting them up for failure, and really they're going to fall off because you're not there to kind of nurture them when it happens. A lot of times they'll be older. They may be by themselves, and, you know, then, you know, they're just kind of left to whatever the you know, whatever happens to him, as opposed to being a, you know, kid.
That's deep right there. I like it, though.
I'm telling you, it's a great point. Yeah. It's a great point, and I haven't really heard it connected with sports. I've heard it more like on Mar and more like social topics. I think he's exactly right, and it really is unfair for them in the end, because the reality is, and I guess we're talking more about that millennial generation. Now, how old are you, Trinus?
I'm 35.
35, okay. Right. All right, so you're just below me a little bit. We probably were on the edge of that where you still got a good piece of that. The last thing you would want to be is to be 22, 23, 24 and have the real world come out and be like, that was all make-believe.
Right.
They had you in an incubator.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I don't get an A?
Right? Like,
I get
fired.
An A. Right? Exactly.
Clean out your desk, man.
Exactly.
So then, do you think it would be okay if the next time I see one of these soccer games, I just get out of the car and start screaming, "You're not acknowledging truth"? Because I like that phrase.
I mean, hopefully they don't that's a good.
You don't want seven-year-olds to go home and say, you know, we got beat 17-1.
Right.
So I get that. But to say we're not counting goals at all.
But even deeper than 17-1, right? That's going to happen sometimes in these leagues. So
yeah.
With the coach, is the coach teaching the process or the present?
Right.
Are they teaching like, we lost, so this is catastrophic? Or did you get better? Are you better now than you were when we first practiced? You know, and can you... You know, and I think,
and is the coach of 17 putting? Is this John Jenkins coaching 7-year-olds?
But even then, right? If you're on the other side of it, if you're 17 up, you know, are you working on your weaknesses?
Yeah,
you know, you're not talking about subs.
Yeah,
something.
You know, getting your third teamers in there.
We used to always talk about even with basketball. It's like, okay, well, if you are on the front end of a blowout, are you working on your left hand? Are you doing some things that you're getting some, you know, game reps to hopefully make yourself a better player? And that's about development, not so much did, you know, a 12-year-old blow out another 12-year-old.
Yeah. If the baseball team's up 8-1 and I see middle infielders kind of messing around with flips because they know they may be in a position where they don't have enough time and they've got to get that quick flip, and maybe he bobbles it, but it's 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I'm going to guess he's working on that. I'm like, all right, you're working on your trait and a blowout. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. No, and it's process, not present.
So. Yeah.
And again, if you want to hear R.C. Buford and this conversation on Sunday, it is the PCA Chalk Talk Sunday, 1:30 to 2:30, leading into that Austin Spurs game out at the HEB Center in Cedar Park. Go to PCA-CentralTX.org for a ticket to the event or for more information on the organization.
I think that'd be really cool. Perfect. This guy is, I don't think it's easy for us not to maybe overlook a guy who's this close in how impactful he's been in the basketball world and nationally. Do you know him?
I don't know him personally, but certainly having competed against him in a previous job, you know, the culture that they set in San Antonio is second to none.
Yeah.
And they're serious about that, not only on the court, but off. You know, what their staff looks like, who's in their administration. Those things are super important to them. Yeah. And I think that they reflect in wins and losses.
And also for him to be...
You were with Lance in Phoenix.
I was,
and
yeah.
Lance has that connection. Yeah, Lance tried to build it like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I worked for Lance Blanks when he was in Phoenix as the general manager. And again, it's about, you know, putting the right people around you. And, you know, if you go down, you go down swinging with the right people,
right.
You know, with you. So.
And for RC to do, you know, an event like this and essentially, you know, reach back down to those younger basketball players, that's great to hear. And it's another, just like you said, it's another bit of that Spurs culture.
It's who they are.
I think that, it just bleeds through everything that they are. But it's so great that he would come to an event like this and, you know, trying to talk about the youth and you know, making them better, whether it's basketball players or people or both.
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with Silver and Black Give Back, which is their community arm. And so we ended up actually certifying all of their junior NBA coaches. And so, you know, we're very closely tied to the Spurs and are very grateful for RC to,
very cool.
you know, share his time and let us, you know, have that conversation with him.
Yeah, no, that's a big one. That's a big get.
Well, we appreciate you spending a little time with us today, and I am going to start the Trennis campaign to get more kids named Trennis. I've never heard that name.
Right.
And you tell me there's just no story.
It's none.
Your grandmother?
Pops is Trennis, right?
Dolores Jones. Pops is Trennis, but yeah, Dolores Jones named my father and obviously my father named me, and that was it.
Now, I was thinking it may be this, but at what age did you figure out, or did your dad figure out, this is a combination of two names.
Well, you know, you try to get it out of her, you know, but I think she ends up, she wants to hold it close to the chest, and she hasn't told us yet. So hopefully, like I said, hopefully it has this great meaning.
You're thinking, though, Trent and Dennis, right?
That too, but also okay. One of those things where when you ask the question, you know, are other people named Trentis, I recognize that I could easily be picked out if I did anything wrong, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Trentis was there.
Yeah,
like, okay. How do I deny that? Right?
So. Yeah. And we talked about it earlier. Now, that's the one time you want to be a Haley in this generation.
You know,
Haley.
Dan was there.
I'm the, female or male. Exactly. There were 11 of them there.
Right, oh, my God. That is funny.
Now, thanks for coming in.
Now, I appreciate y'all having me.
Is it T-R-E-N-N-I-S?
Yep, like tennis with an R between the T and the E.
Fantastic.
I've had to say that a few times.
There should be more Trentises.
Pass that on to Sonia and Aaron.
For number two.
Trentis Ross.
I agree.
If they're going with AJ on this one, maybe Trentis is the next one.
Yeah, you know.
We got plenty of boy names.
We'll float it.
Oh, I know.
I know you're planning on a lot of boy names. Plenty of them.
Trentis, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hey, thank y'all. I appreciate it.
Again, Sunday is the Chalk Talk with R.C. Buford. Go to pca-centraltx.org. Get you a ticket to the game. Go check out this event, 1:30 to 2:30, and then check out the Austin Spurs as well.